died the very first year. So can you imagine one half of your family dying in 1 year? And then you get together for a Thanksgiving, and the only thing you have to eat is five little kernels of corn, the size like little pieces of popcorn. The little heart, and they warm, put it in water. You like some popcorn? Yeah, I knew I'd turn to that. Yeah. You have real popcorn. Well, you get five kernels instead of turkey tomorrow. What? How would you like that? Boring, yes. But you know what? The next year, they were able to have the real Thanksgiving that more were a little bit more familiar with, because they were able to build some houses and secure themselves and raise some crops. You have what? You have echo, okay. I'm not sure what that is, but amen. That's right, I just don't know. Anyway, what does Thanksgiving mean to you? What does it really mean? What is thankful? What? You don't know, huh?
But what is giving thanks to the Lord?
Well, what does that mean, though? I don't know what that means. Praising the Lord, I like that one. That's a really good start. Someone else. I'm going to tell Mom and Dad, if they don't know the answer to what it means to be thankful, no turkey for them tomorrow. Five kernels of popcorn, that's it. Unpopped, soak them in water, let them do with them what they want. Oh, my goodness. You'd start a food fight, but you can't do much with five kernels of corn. Yes. So anyway, what's important to understand is that when God is doing things for us, all of the food, not just for tomorrow, but all year long, he's empowered you and me to work and to plant and to harvest and to help cook. I want you to do something this Thanksgiving. Can you do something nice for your mom or your dad? Don't wait to be asked. You just pick something nice. Clean up something. Put away something. Play nice together. Or take your dishes to the sink afterward. Or offer to put the dishes in the dishwasher. Or dry them if they're getting washed. Or whatever you can think of. So that when you're done, Mom or Dad will look at you and say, "Thank you. That was very nice of you." Which means, "I appreciate you. You are very special to me because you have chosen to show me your love by doing something for me." That's what the sermon is about. Can you remember that? Good. How many kernels? Five. Yes. Yes. And tonight you get a candy bar instead. But just one. Here we go. Beep, beep. Going to set it right there. Just one. Go ahead. Go quick, though. I remember the first time I heard the story of the real first Thanksgiving and how 50% of the people died over that winter, and the difficulties they had and the struggles they went through, and then the battle just to get Thanksgiving to be an accepted holiday in America. It was initiated by George Washington, but it was not confirmed and made a day holiday until Abraham Lincoln many years later, because many of the other presidents didn't want to have a special day of thanks. So let's not, you know, walk around going, "Oh, America was such a Christian nation and everything else." But there was a little bit of, you know, debate about it and everything else. There was a young woman that wrote letters to the presidents every year, and I think it was for 17 or 18 years. I can't remember the exact number, that she wrote letters. And finally, President Lincoln received one of the letters, read it, and was moved by what she wrote. And at that point said, this is a good thing. And so he worked with some of the people in his cabinet and he proposed it, and it was certified as I think the last Thursday in November is what I think they eventually decided to do. Fourth Thursday, thank you. Fourth Thursday in November. And so even this day has a bit of controversy. To be actually thankful to someone else besides yourself is really challenging for us. And there's no way I can preach this sermon without having to recognize my own struggles, because sometimes we give ourselves an immense amount of credit. And so when we had this passage, with all the other things that Gary was helping us go through in the service, and the people up there were reading to us out of the different texts and passages, putting them together with the songs that we were singing, we realized that thankfulness is a very peculiar thing. It's a really challenging thing. And so into that setting now, we walk into this Thanksgiving, this event in 2023. And we are being called to do not more than just simply celebrate and talk about how great the food was tomorrow, but also to try and help, and this is the struggle, help people learn thankfulness. Sometimes we assume we deserve it. What would the kids say, and what would you say if you all had to work very hard for your turkey dinner and all the other things that we got? And you begin to understand there is this ungratefulness that people are experiencing in much of American culture. And so when we start reading these passages and we start talking about this, the point that he makes very clearly is this, all right? Let your gentleness be evident. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Working in a few verses in Philippians. The Greek actually says, for not even one single thing, take thought or be anxious. Not even one single thing. Now, we have our cliches. I'm a worrier. That's just what I am. I do that. And I worry really well. All right? And we make it a brag. Okay? And we don't realize that you're slapping God in the face when I talk like that. Been there, done that. But I just want you to understand, you're also telling God, I don't trust you. The very fact that I'm worried is I don't trust you with my life. I don't trust you with my future. I don't trust you with any of these things. And God looks at you and he said, let me march you through the wilderness for 40 years. Yeah, but where are we going to get our food? Trust me. Where are we going to get our water? Trust me. And they did not trust him. And they lacked thankfulness. And as a result, they walked around in the wilderness for 40 years. The message never really changes because people always struggle with the same thing. Even if God is bringing manna into their life in a regular interval, even if they're able to find meat in the sense of the quail and some of the other things God supplies, even if all those things line up, there's still this ability to not be thankful. I doubt very much if we're not going to have our tables full tomorrow with all the different things that are normally on our tables. And if not tomorrow, the next day or the next day, however that all works out. And you all understand what I mean. But the real question is this one, and I heard it phrased this way, which was kind of peculiar. When God forgives my sin, I am at peace with him. Okay? In other words, there is no anger, there is no judgment, there's no harshness from God's side. I am at peace with God. But the question is God's peace inside of me? And I thought that's kind of an interesting separation of thought. And I realized that much of the problem that we have is on the internal, not the external. We can all look good on Thanksgiving Day. We can pray, we can smile, we can do the things, we can say please and thank you and all the other things. But the question is, what's really taking place inside the heart of each and every one of us? And so that's part of the challenge as we begin to read this again. It says, in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You cannot force yourself to be at peace. You're going to just pretend, I'm what are you doing? I'm going to try and be at peace. And you can do that. And the one guy I listened to, he said, have you ever tried praising God and worrying at the same time? And I thought, one of the things that historically I would do, and I know many of you would do too, is when the situation gets tough, you put on praise music. You put on something when you're up against a trouble that and you need a helping hand. There's a song said, what do? When you can't see any other way out, then you stand up and you praise the Lord. And in the moment you start praising God and you thank him for what you do have, not whatever it is you're moaning, groaning, whining, or complaining about, but you focus on what you can be thankful for. How many things, as Gary was reading them out over there, over all the daily things that are in our lives that we just take for granted, and you begin to understand all of those things are still in place. You're going to still go home tonight to water and a shower and a flush toilet and a car maybe that will make it all the way home and. And you begin to understand that the idea of being thankful is sometimes so far away from us because we take it all for granted. And we're not much different than even if we're little kids. To understand that Thanksgiving, the original Thanksgiving, was only a few kernels of corn. And you understood that's not a joke. And they did not want to even let them eat that corn because that was the seed corn for the next year's crops. And so if they would have given them more kernels of corn, it may have meant they weren't going to have anything to plant the following year. And so when we start thinking about what kids, families, women, men of all ages had to survive when they came over here to seek religious freedom, when they came over here to learn some unbelievably difficult things about how to settle in this new land, we begin to understand what they had to put up with. And so when it goes on from there, it says this, and the peace of God, which transcends, is beyond the ability for your mind to comprehend. How can I be at peace? How can I trust that? What in the world is happening inside of me that I have this kind of peace? And sometimes you may have it, and you may recognize it's the work of God in your life. Someone standing on the outside to look at you will go, I can't believe you're at this much peace, and you're this comfortable with the situation that you're in. And then it says this, transcends all understanding. And then it says this, will guard your heart and your minds. All of your worry starts there. Okay? And what does Jesus do? He says, look at the birds of the field. Look at the flowers of the field. Look at they neither sow nor reap. And yet their Heavenly Father feeds them. And you're going to spend your life worrying. And you're going to call yourself a faithful Christian. And then I go, I don't even like to preach that because the truth is I struggle with it, you struggle with it. But that I struggle with it is important. That I don't put a stamp of approval on it and say, it's okay for me to have this anxiousness. It's okay for me to have this stress level in my life. One of these things that we have to figure out how to help people receive that, because God wants to minister to your heart and to your mind, to the way you think, the way you process thought, to your feelings and emotions that usually we say come from the heart or the gut, where we have that kind of sense where it says, I am in turmoil. And then what do scientists say and the psychologists say? That something like 80%+ of the things you worry about never happen anyway. And so you can worry about all kinds of stuff. And then Jesus goes so far and says, which of you can add 1 inch to your height by worrying whether you're short or tall? Which of you by worrying can add even a moment, a split second onto your life? And he goes through the process. What's he trying to do? I've come to give you not only peace between you and me, but my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give this peace to you. And in that peace, my mind and my heart begin to express it with thanksgiving. You've all had, I hope, something or someone in your life that did something for you out of the just out of the goodness of their heart. When I was growing up, every once in a while I would get to mow somebody's lawn and get all done doing it, and they wanted to give me my money, and I said, oh, no. I just did it because I wanted to. And then I've turned around and my grandkids or people I know have come to my house and done the same thing for me, and you can't do that. You got to receive my... No. I steal something from them, which is their ability to give without being repaid. And so even for you, I'm going to encourage you this week as we go into Thanksgiving, as we interact with in-laws, outlaws, and everything else you may call them, you know, that you do those things that are not expected. You don't just sit and watch other people clear the table. You don't just do this or do that, but you contribute to the quietness or the blessing of the day, whether you're a child or an adult. And so in that moment, we begin to understand these passages. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, that's Paul speaking, or seen in me, Paul again, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. If we need anything as we go into the Christmas season, it's a peace. It can't be a peace because I got all my presents bought. That comes and goes. And then we deal with January when all the bills come. And then we go, I'm not at peace anymore at all. And all that different thing. And instead, it goes, pursue those things like he points out here. Pursue those things. Stare at those things that are true. What's true about your relationship with God? Has God called you by name? Does he work in your life? Is that really true or is it not true? And you go through this whole process. And finally, the bottom line of all of this text is that one line very closely right there in verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. And that's the peace that is in you that only God can give to you. That's the peace that's not based on any of the experiences around you. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. It will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's the peace that only God can finally pour into you. And it tells you, here's the action. You refocus your mind away from the thing that you're stressed about, and you focus it instead on those things that are true, those things that are praiseworthy, those things that are lovely, those things that are pure, and that list starts to make sense. And you begin to go, is it possible, Lord, that I'm focusing on the wrong stuff? Yes. Is it possible you're calling me to focus on something different? Yes. And the final reason he points out there is why? So that the peace of God will be in you this Thanksgiving, this Christmas, and into the new year. Pray with me if you would. Lord, how tender you are with us. How much you love. And how far away we've come from the five kernels of corn. And for that, we're thankful. But we can hardly believe that that was all they had to eat that day. And at the same time, Lord, when we hear about 50% of their families, friends, and relatives all there dying that very first year, we start to understand. When we read about, as Gary read to us, a pastor that buried 5,000 people in a day, understanding how difficult and challenging life can really be. And yet out of that grief, out of that pain, out of that war that's being fought, he is able to put in words a thankfulness because he saw your hand of mercy and grace beyond what he immediately saw around him. And trusting in you, Lord, out came the words of that song, which eventually we got to sing. So help us, Lord, to be that kind of people, thankful in every way, working toward being thankful and expressing our thankfulness in actions and appreciation of the people around us with the compliments and the encouragements and blessings that we can be in whatever way we can. Come and bless us to that end, we pray. In your name, amen.